Today is the 20th Sunday after Pentecost, and these are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. There will also be benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening at 6 p.m. You're all invited to come. Next Sunday, October 29th, is the Feast of Christ the King. There will be a High Mass at 9 a.m. That's an hour later than usual. Usually you come at 8. This time it will be at 9. And also next Sunday at 6 p.m. will be benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. All souls envelopes, which you have by now, hopefully, you should fill out and return them by November 1st. It's a week from this coming Wednesday. November 1st, return them by that day. Some great feasts this week. Tomorrow is a feast of St. Anthony Mary Claret, who is an amazing saint. You should read his story if you haven't. Modern saint. He just lived just a little over 100 years ago. And he spent a great deal of time in our hemisphere as a bishop in Cuba for a good portion of his life. Tuesday is the feast of St. Raphael the Archangel. Wednesday is the feast of St. Isidore the Farm Laborer. Thursday, commemoration St. Evaristus. Saturday is the feast of Saints Simon and Jude, the apostles. Big feast. Two apostles, and you know St. Jude. We have his statue here on our property. Patron saint of difficult cases. St. Rita, impossible. St. Jude, difficult. Great saints to pray to. Those who assist at daily Mass may remain in the chapel to make a thanksgiving. If another Mass begins at the main altar, you still may remain if you choose. Even if the Mass is in the shrines, you can still stay. But please do not go out that door right there during the Mass because it's noisy. So take the hallway down and go out the other door. On Wednesday, November 1st, that's a week from this coming Wednesday, is the Feast of All Saints. That is a holy day of obligation. And since we have two Masses that day, one High Mass in the morning at 9 and one in the evening, 7 p.m., can't imagine why anybody would miss Mass on that day. Low Mass in the evening, High Mass in the morning, 9 a.m., 7 p.m. And then on Thursday, November 2nd, the next day, there'll be a High Requiem Mass at 9 a.m. and a Low Requiem Mass at 7 p.m. if you can't make it in the morning. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Brethren, see to it that you walk with care, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not become foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, for in that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. To God the Father, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Please stand for the Gospel. Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the Epistle and the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 4, verses 46 to 53. At that time, there was a certain royal official whose son was lying sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea into Galilee, he went to him and besought him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Jesus therefore said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you do not believe." The royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go thy way, thy son lives." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and departed. But even as he was now going down, his servants met him and brought word saying that his son lived. He asked of them, therefore, the hour in which he had got better. And they told him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." The father knew then that it was at that very hour in which Jesus had said to him, "Thy son lives," and he himself believed, and his whole household. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. This official in today's gospel, we do not know if he was a Jew, but we believe he was probably an officer, either in the army or in the court of Herod Antipas. So he was an official. And he came undoubtedly by horseback from Capernaum to this town that our Lord and Savior was in, Cana of Galilee. We've worked his first public miracle. This man believed that Christ could heal his son. But his faith was not perfect. Notice he did not say, "Just say the word and my son will be healed." He thought it was necessary for Christ to come and heal his son, to be present at him, touch him or something. So his faith was not perfect. But this shows you the power of Christ. And we do not mean the power that he used to heal the son. Because what does it say? It says that Christ said, "Your son lives." And the man immediately believed him. So even though he did not have perfect faith, just by seeing Christ and hearing those words, he believed. It shows you the majesty of our Lord and Savior. His holiness, His greatness. Just to say these words, and this man believed Him immediately, shows you the malice of His enemies, who actually saw Him work many great, astounding miracles. And they determined, as soon as they saw these things, we are going to kill Him. Shows you their malice, doesn't it? This man saw Him and immediately believed as soon as he heard those words. What will it be like to see the Son of God in glory? If this man believed, just seeing Him without any glory. We hope you think often about what heaven will be like. It's important. If you're going to go on a trip, imagine how much you think about going on this trip. And here we're going to heaven. Important to think about it, isn't it? Often. What is it going to be like when we reach heaven? So this man traveled 4.5 hours by horseback, and the people announced to him that his son was cured yesterday at 1 o'clock, the seventh hour. Remember, 6 in the morning, the day begins. It ends at 6 in the evening. So we don't know for certain when this man met his servants, but we know it was after 6 in the evening, may have been the next day, yesterday at 1 o'clock. So obviously he did not leave immediately. He's confident. His son, remember, he was dying. He was at the point of death. So he believed. That's how great his faith was. Everything's fine now. Maybe he decided to stay on longer, rest, give his horse a rest. And now he's going back. He meets them. And they say, yesterday at 1 o'clock, and he knew that was the hour. That was when Christ said it. He already believed. He was just confirming it, because he wanted everyone else to believe. Notice how God works. He works miracles not only for the poor, but for the powerful. This man was a royal official. So now this man will spread the word. This was Cana of Galilee. Remember that? So here our Lord and Savior worked his first public miracle there, at the wedding feast. Now he comes back not long after that and works the second miracle in this town. Must have had a great affection for these people, as he does for us, you and me. They were chosen as we are. Why did God choose us? You remember, don't you? It's not because of anything special about us. Zero on that account. Because if we have anything that's special about us, it's only because of God. So we know it's simply because of His goodness. Nothing on our part made Him choose us. But we also know this. Why did He choose us? Because He has something for us to do. Is a reason why He chose us, and that is so that we can go to heaven, of course, but also so we can pray and help other people to reach heaven. This is a solemn obligation, brethren, to pray for first us, Pray for yourself often. Ask God to bring you to heaven. Without prayer, no one is saved. No one. If anyone is saved, it's because someone was praying for that person. There's a very frightening thing happened recently. Hugh Hefner died. Is that not frightening? Just imagine where this man is. Very evil man. We have no hope for him unless someone was praying for him. And if someone was praying for him, then we have great hope, don't we? Because God hears us, doesn't he? We have prayed for evil people. And when those people died, we had great hope. Because God hears us, doesn't he? So God chose us to, because he wants us to pray. Aren't we redeemers? Aren't we part of Christ's body? Aren't we here to redeem mankind? Doesn't God want all men to be saved? Now, how will they be saved if you don't pray for them? Do you pray for everybody? Do you pray for people in particular often? If you don't pray for people, they won't be saved. Because most people are not Catholic. And so their prayers mean very little if they pray. How many people pray, period? How many Catholics pray? At least those who call themselves Catholics. So you have a solemn obligation to pray. And this is what St. Paul is talking about in this epistle. So epistle is for you and me. He says, do not be unwise. Don't be stupid. Redeem, this epistle says, make the most of your time. Of course, that's great translation. But in the Latin, it says, redeem the time. What's the time? What time? Every moment. So don't be stupid. That's St. Paul's words. That's the words of the Holy Ghost. Don't be unwise. How do you redeem your time? How do you make the most of your time? Prayer. Every moment. If you're not praying, you're not wise. Every moment is precious, brethren. Don't waste a second. We do not appreciate the value of time, not one of us. We won't even appreciate the value of time when we reach heaven, not as we should. The whole world is envious of us. What we mean by the whole world is everybody who really appreciates the value of time, like the damned, for instance. Even though they are in hell, they know what's happening here. And they know that we still have lots of time to save ourselves. And even though they would not change their minds if they came back again because of their hatred, they are filled with hatred. And so they damned themselves, both the angels and the souls that are there. they still hate us because of all the time that we have on our hands that we waste, don't we? How much time do you waste when you're not praying? But also, souls in purgatory have a holy envy of us, because if they could just have just a few moments of time, imagine how much reparation they could make for their sins. That's what they're thinking. And here we are with all this time. And of course, everybody in heaven is envious of us. Because they'd like to have some more time too. They'd have a greater glory in heaven. If they had a little more time here on earth. Higher place in heaven. Don't waste any time, brethren. Don't be stupid. St. Paul, Holy Ghost, are also reminding us to be prepared for the last judgment. And they remind us that we must always be doing what God wants us to do. Always do the will of God. That's what they mention. The will of God. Now we know, of course, why we were put here on this earth. So that we can be in heaven, right? To be in union with God. Actually, to be in union with God now by our holiness. Holy Eucharist. Receiving the Holy Eucharist. Foretaste of heaven. So, our goal, our purpose is heaven. And how do we reach heaven? By doing exactly what God wants us to do at every moment. The will of God. Always follow God's will. That's how we reach heaven. So far, so good, right? Heaven is our goal. We reach heaven by doing God's will. How do we know what God's will is? First of all, pray. That's number one. Number two, study. Find out. Try to find out what His will is. Number three, pray. Number four, ask advice. Other people usually know what we should be doing better than we do. Next, pray. Lastly, obey. That's how you get to heaven. Obey. We have some quotes for you. If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. That's obedience. If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. How do you get to heaven? Obey. This is St. Alphonsus now. He that remains united to the will of God lives and saves his soul. He who remains united to the will of God lives and saves his soul. He that prefers to follow his own will dies and is lost. Never follow your own will. Never do that. Always follow God's will. Now we know that most people think obedience is for children, if that, because they don't even make their children obey. But they think obedience, that's for children. And some people think obedience is for religious. Not me. I'm an adult. I'm in the world. I don't have to obey. Well, brethren, obedience is a virtue. If you are not possessed of obedience, this virtue, then you can't be saved. That's pretty simple, isn't it? If you're not obedient, you will not be saved. We must obey. And when we obey, we don't do it as the animals do. We have obedience training for animals. We don't do it as animals. We don't do it because we're forced to. That's not obedience. That's the souls in hell and the demons. Those persons, those beings, they obey because they have to. That's not us. That's not obedience. Our Father Superior has told you, if your children obey you because you're stronger than they are, then that's not obedience. That's servitude. Obedience is done lovingly, willingly. You do things because of love of God. Not because this person told me to do it, but because God told me to do it. That's obedience. You obey God in all things. Everything is obedience if you're thinking correctly. Don't be stupid. If you're thinking, then you do things because God wants you to do them. And you gain merit. You earn a high place in heaven because you do everything that you do. You breathe because God wants you to breathe. What a high place in heaven you will have. In the movies and on television, they always teach us to be disobedient. That's the devil, isn't it? So obedience is not only doing things lovingly and willingly, but you conform your intellect. Does that sound difficult to do? You agree with what you are told to do. Now, you know, of course, that we are not talking about anything that is sinful. You must disobey everything that you are told to do that is sinful, even at the cost of your life. Not just mortal sin, venial sin. If you had a choice of saving the entire world and a venial sin, then you choose to the world be destroyed. It's better to let the world be destroyed than to commit a venial sin. So if someone tells you to do something that you know is sinful, that you know is sinful, then you disobey. But listen to this. We know you may not have been listening before. Listen now. This is the importance of the virtue of obedience. And this is from St. Thomas himself, St. Thomas Aquinas, possibly the greatest mind ever and one of the greatest saints. He says, if you are told to do something, so we're talking about obedience here. If you are told to do something, and you think it might be a sin, but you're not certain, do it. That's the importance of obedience. If you're not certain if it's a sin, do it anyway. So obedience comes before that, above possibly committing a sin, because it takes away the sin, if it is one. Obedience comes first. If you doubt, if you know it's a sin, you can't do it. If you doubt, you do it. If it's obedience. Normally, of course, if you're tempted and you think that this might be a sin, you would avoid it, right? You'd resist. That's what we normally do, right? But not if we're told to do something. Obedience comes first. That's the importance of the virtue of obedience. It's so important that the most obedient person ever to live was Christ, our Lord, the Son of God. His life was 100% obedient. Not just to the Father and to the Holy Ghost, but to us, to the people he lived with. He was obedient to them. Look at this gospel. This man says, come and heal my son. Christ did it. That's obedience. Christ was obedient to everyone. Notice that he died not simply because his Father told him to, but because that was what people made him do. Could he have resisted? Well, he's God. He could have resisted easily, right? He's obedient. Can you have a better example of obedience, the importance of this virtue, than the Son of God? That's this epistle, by the way. St. Paul and the Holy Ghost say, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Obey everybody, insofar as you are able to. If you want to see someone who is disobedient, just drive onto a road and you'll see people who are disobedient, because it's dangerous driving out there, especially when we get older and we drive a little slower. People don't like me. Be subject to one another, brethren. If you are able to, be obedient to everyone. Accommodate yourself. If you know what someone wants, do it if you can. It's love, right? We know, and we've told you this a million times, approximately. How are we judged? How do we get to heaven? What are we judged by? Answer, love. Right? How is love judged? By obedience. We just read to you, if thou wilt enter into life, obey, keep the commandments. It doesn't say love, it says obey. Of course, this is how love is judged, is by obedience. This is how we reach heaven, by being obedient. And if we had more time, we would give you some examples of how obedient the saints were. So remember, brethren, if thou wilt enter into life, obey. God bless you.